The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend, expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you, a good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in turn be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy drizzly morning to everybody here. Now, isn't it nice to have all that Bishop's Lenten Appeal stuff out of the way? Okay, now every other church, not that I'm bragging, but every other church in the whole diocese, they're getting the Bishop's Lenten Appeal instead of the homily. That's what I call insult and injury. Okay, so, but what you just heard is the highest standard of morality in the entire world. Any religion. Look high and low, east and west, north and south, you will never hear anything like just what you heard right here. Not only the highest, but the most beautiful standard of behavior that's ever been proclaimed. This is the beauty of the saints. I'll tell you is why I'm a Catholic. When you see this put into practice, most beautiful thing in the world, and our Christ our Lord models it for us. You look at all four Gospels and their passion accounts. This is exactly what you see our Lord doing. Loving his enemies, doing good to those who hate him, blessing those who curse him, praying for those who mistreat him, right down to the last drop of his blood. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Highest standard of morality. But you know what's interesting? You make a study of all the world's religions, especially their moral codes, and you know what you will discover? You will discover three standards of morality, three different levels of moral behavior, from the lowest to the highest, and it goes something like this. The lowest standard of morality in all the world is the standard of self-interest. Okay, so for example, you might ask, why can't I punch somebody when I'm angry at them? Why can't I just steal whatever I want? The lowest standard of morality says, well, you shouldn't punch somebody because they might punch you back. And you shouldn't steal because you might get caught. It's not a very lofty standard to live by, okay? But it's a standard. It's a moral standard, lowest level there is. Second highest level, it appeals to abstract justice principles. So why shouldn't I punch somebody when I'm angry with them? Why shouldn't I just steal whatever I want to take? And the second level of morality would answer, well, you know, it's not fair if you do that, and societies fall apart when people behave like that, and that's why you shouldn't do it. It's a little bit higher, okay? But the third level of morality is high and rare. The third level of morality says you should not do evil because God made you and you ought to act like it. You shouldn't do evil because you were made in God's image. High and rare. But you know what's interesting? Every religion in the world teaches some form of level 3 morality. It's not unique to Christianity. You know what is unique to Christianity? The heights to which we are called when we do that. Listen, everybody out there says some version of love your neighbor. Only Jesus ever said, love your enemy. Everybody's going to tell you to do good to other people. But only Jesus ever said, do good to those who hate you. Everybody's going to say, be a blessing to everybody who knows you. But only Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Highest standard there is, and you want to know what? You can't do it on your own strength. Do you know that? If you want to live by this, God himself has to be your strength, or you can't do it. And this is why Jesus says, you know, go ahead, love those who love you. But don't claim any credit for that. Anybody can do that. You want to be good to people who are good to you in return? No applause for that. Pagans do as much. Sinners do as much. But if you really want to be a child of your Heavenly Father, you can't do this on your own strength. You have to be strengthened by God, and that strength is what we call grace, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why we pray. That's why we receive sacraments. You know what a sacrament gives you? A sacrament gives you grace every single time. Okay, so that's why, for example, you go to confession. And that's why it's not enough to say, well, yeah, I just tell God I'm sorry in the silence of my heart. Why isn't that enough? Because there's no sacramental grace in the silence of your heart. You actually have to go to the sacrament to get that. It's why we come to Mass. You know, you get people that say, well, yeah, I pray to God in my own way. I take a walk in the woods. You can't get a Eucharist on a walk in the woods. Only here. Grace matters, ladies and gentlemen. It's what strengthens us. It's what strengthens us to do what we can't do by our own power. And because we can't do it by our own power, our Lord lowers the bar just a little bit and gives us an incentive. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. The measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. Now, I've been a priest for almost 21 years. Can I share with you just a couple of little thoughts, a couple of reflections? Here's one. People have no trouble believing that God is merciful. But they have a very, very hard time believing that God is merciful to them. I have no trouble believing God is merciful to all of you. But you know the proof that people find it very hard to believe that God is merciful to them? It's whenever a tragedy strikes. Like, let's say there's a death in the family, or a loss of employment, or some kind of terrible hardship. And instinctively, people will say things like, God is punishing me for my sins. And how merciless an understanding of God that is. And false. Here's another thought. Almost everybody thinks that they are merciful. Almost everybody thinks that they are forgiving to others and that they are very non-judgmental. Almost 100%. If you think that about yourself, can I give you a challenge today? I challenge you to track your thoughts for 12 hours. Start at 9 a.m., let's just say. Go from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And if you dare, keep track of what you think of other people in the privacy of your own thoughts. And you will find that you condemn and you judge and you put down other people quite a lot. Go ahead and try to keep track of it. And yes, celebrities and politicians count as people, okay? But we are very, very much in need of what our Lord says right here. You know, it just goes to show you, the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. He's not talking about the last judgment when he says that. Those who are merciful to others right now are the ones who know what it means that God is merciful to them. Okay, so to that end, let me give you one thing to do and two things to avoid. Okay, one thing to do. What does it mean to be merciful? Well, you don't have to guess. Our Lord has told us, and very clearly, Right? Go to the end of the Gospel of Matthew. And there's a story there of what's going to happen at the last judgment. He gives us a preview. And he says he's going to line up all those on his right and say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And to those on his left, he's going to say, "Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And then he tells us how we're going to be judged. He's going to ask, "Did you feed the hungry? Did you give drink to the thirsty? Did you welcome the stranger?" You know, you go to a party and maybe there's one person who obviously has nobody to talk to. What do you do? Stay inside your comfort zone? Or reach out? Welcome the stranger. Clothe the naked. You know, you turn on the computer, turn on the television, all over the place. Children of God deprived of their basic dignity. The least we can do is turn away. The least we can do. Visit the sick. Visit the imprisoned. Bury the dead. And all throughout the rest of the Gospel of Matthew, there's seven more criteria of judgment that Jesus gives us. Instruct the ignorant. Counsel the doubtful. Admonish the sinner. Admonish is a fancy word for instruct or teach or correct. Very hard to do, okay? But we don't often think of this. If somebody's committing a sin, it is a great act of mercy to tell them, "That's a sin and you shouldn't do that." And it is a great act of selfishness just to look the other way, or even worse, to give it your blessing. It's an act of mercy. Admonish the sinner. Comfort the afflicted. Forgive injuries. And here's one for you to think about. Bear wrongs patiently. Just try to get out the parking lot without violating that one. Pray for the living and the dead. Very specifically, our Lord has told us, and did you know that for the first 1,200 years of our faith, those seven corporal works of mercy and spiritual works of mercy were a daily examination of conscience for people? You know, we gather for Mass and we say, "Lord, forgive me for everything I've done and for everything that I've failed to do." That's what they used to ask themselves. Have I done those things? Have I failed to do those things? Not a bad list for what it means to be merciful. Two little things to avoid now. First of all, please don't misunderstand what Jesus means when he says, "Stop judging and you will not be judged." That's the one passage of Scripture that everybody knows, right? You stop somebody on the street at random, ask them to quote you a Bible verse. That's what he'll quote you. "Don't judge," right? Lest ye be, even if he's never opened the Bible, that's what he's going to quote you. But let me tell you, in the presence of Jesus, please don't misunderstand that. That is not a blanket permission to do every sort of evil under the sun, thinking only God can judge you. We can and we must differentiate between what's right and what is wrong. "Don't judge lest ye be judged" does not mean that you can't tell the difference between right and wrong and tell people about it. You know, otherwise, truth is the same as telling a lie. Or theft is the same as honesty. Tell you what it does mean. It means you cannot know somebody else's motives. That's what it means. You can say what they're doing is wrong. You cannot make a judgment about the person who does it, right? So that's one big one not to misunderstand. And here's the other. Please don't misunderstand what is meant by the word forgive. Because everybody thinks forgiveness is a feeling, and if they don't have the feeling, then they haven't forgiven. But you know what forgiveness is? It's a decision. And it's very simple. It means one thing and one thing only. It means, "I do not hold this offense against you." That's what it means. In my thoughts, I don't hold it against you. In my words, I don't hold this against you. In how I act, I do not hold this offense against you. That's what forgiveness means. It does not mean that you don't still feel hurt. It does not mean you've forgotten. It doesn't mean that your relationship is suddenly healed and everything is well now. It doesn't mean any of those things. And it also doesn't mean that you can forgive in one fell swoop. You know as well as I do, there's some things that have been done to you in your life, you'll be forgiving them for the rest of your life. There's nothing wrong with you. If it takes you 10,000 acts of forgiveness just to forgive, right down to your dying breath, something to remember. And there's no better place to begin to act on all of this than right here, okay, where we receive the Lord in His grace in the sacrament. God comes to us under the appearance of a piece of bread, and you talk about not judging by appearances, right? But let's do this. Let's do this, and let's begin right now. Because if we do, we will have nothing to fear at the hour of our death, because the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. Amen.